A Karen attempts a housing scam on a flat that I own, where she thought that her and my ex could live for next to nothing by stealing the contract of my current tenant. In other words, my entitled ex wants me to be her landlord, but doesn't want me to know that I'm her landlord. It'll make more sense when I break it down. Here's how it happened. Subscribe to Am I the Jerk on YouTube and hit the bell to turn on notifications. I bought my first flat when I was in my 20s. I rented out a room to a guy from Poland. Awesome flatmate. Super good at DIY, do-it-yourself, and maintenance. I was also seeing someone for a while. Let's call her Ghost. Ghost lived with two other girls, one of whom is the titular ex-friend. Let's call her Karen. Ghost and I broke up. From the imaginative name, you can guess what happened. And that whole friend group ditched me. My career went pretty well and I bought a house in the suburbs. I decided to let my flatmate from Poland stay on in the same flat at the same rent, with the understanding that he not sublet but let his girlfriend move in, which is fine. I get the mortgage covered and a tenant who is better at maintaining the place than I am. He gets a two-bed flat for half the price. A few years later, a certain idiot referendum passes and the flatmate and his girlfriend are moving home to Poland. His girlfriend has already gone back, but when I'm over sorting some stuff with my former flatmate, I see a huge pile of moving boxes in the spare room. I say, "Oh, is that your girlfriend's stuff? Are you gonna be able to fit all of that in the car?" He says, "Oh no, that's Karen's stuff. She asked if she could leave it here while we were still here." As it turns out, Karen was still friends with the girlfriend. She found out they were leaving and that their rent was a pretty good deal. She told the girlfriend that she had squared it all with me and that she was going to take it all over. I will confess to a few minutes of panic and confusion. I have not spoken to this person in years. She thinks she is going to move into my flat and doesn't even ask? How does she even intend to pay rent given she has made zero attempts to contact me, and why would I not go for market rate? I'm honestly baffled and somewhat morbidly fascinated to find out how she thinks this was going to work. I don't really want to get into some kind of ridiculous squatter's rights squabble with them, so I contacted my solicitor, think a non-trial lawyer. She recommends I get the locks changed and I install a security camera for when Karen turns up and tries to get in. I think she's quite excited by the drama, a bit more interesting than what she's used to doing. I explain all this to my former flatmate and he agrees to move out 2 weeks early and even helps me fit the doorbell camera. He really was the best. So that's where we are. I pretty much have the Ring app open constantly on my phone. I have pretty clear instructions not to say anything other than give my solicitor's information and record any and all correspondence when it happens. I'm presuming she will hear from my girlfriend though. I'll post an update if anything interesting comes of it. Turns out there was an update. Today at lunchtime, Karen turned up and tried to get into the flat. She was not alone. Ghost was with her and they had a key. I feel stupid for not remembering that Ghost probably had one from when we were together. I didn't think she'd keep it after she ditched me, but probably should have changed the locks back then. Oops. Sorry, tenants. My ex had a key to your flat the entire time. The camera didn't get the preamble, but they came up to the door and tried a key.
"It's not working."
Then there was some fumbling.
"You freaking changed the lock."
Some more descriptive language, presumably about me and my parentage, that I can't wait to have a solicitor read back to them. Then they continue to take turns trying the key. I connect at this point, but I don't say anything. They try the doorbell, but it doesn't make any noise because I'm connected. I think it's lit up, but I guess they don't realize that means I'm watching. I thought Ring cameras had a siren to give them a fright, but I couldn't find it. They bang on the door and window a bit before walking off. I stayed listening through the camera, but didn't hear anything. Still, eerily quiet on the phone. The video was sent to the solicitor anyway. I've had two calls from unknown numbers. I'm not going to answer. I will wait for someone to text me and then send them the solicitor's contact info. More to come in, I guess. In hindsight, I probably should have waited to see how this played out before posting. The solicitor would probably be upset with me if she knew I was posting this. Jumping into the future, there was another update. After a whole bunch of phone calls from random numbers, I finally got one from Ghost's father. He was always a gentleman who I got on with, so I sent him a polite message saying, "If this was about the flat, please direct this to my solicitor and give him the details." details. He said, okay. And the solicitor said that he contacted her and is going to meet her on Friday. So I guess I could update the title to say that my entitled ex wants me to be her landlord. I did some snooping on social media. I deleted my Facebook years ago. It seems that Ghost and Karen's other housemate is getting married soon. They were all living rent-free in the bride's nan's old house. So I'm guessing the impending nuptials are the reason Ghost and Karen are looking for somewhere new and cheap to live. Not really my problem though. So this is how it all turns out in the final update. Things have taken a turn from entitled to just plain dumb. Karen, Ghost, and Ghost Dad met with the solicitor today where they unveiled their secret weapon. They had a copy of my lease with my former flatmate. I was right in that their rent-free ride was over and they had no money saved. Ghost had used me as a cash machine for years. I guess she just thought that I would roll over. Lol, no, as the kids say. So these brainiacs' plan was that they would take over the existing lease agreement with my former flatmate and girlfriend without my involvement. They had a key, they had my payment details from the tenancy agreement. Girlfriend just cost former flatmate and her a wedding gift. Luckily, the account's sole purpose was for rent, so I can change that number easily. They thought they could just write their names on the form as well, and it would all be legally binding. Never mind the fact that there is no subletting, the agreement was with someone else, and the agreement was terminated by my former flatmate. Solicitor says they only tried to argue their point for a minute before giving up. Meeting at her office gave her a real home field psychological advantage, I think. That and, you know, every law on the land. She was laughing on the phone about it. Honestly, these people are nearly 40 years old. How they have no idea how a lease works is beyond me. Although I don't think they believed it. I think it's just because they got caught and are trying to spin it. Long, stupid story short, Ghost Dad had agreed to pay a moving company to collect the boxes and bring them to his house. I need to be there for that, but I will slam the door at the first sign of anyone other than a mover. I'm out about 350 quid in solicitor's fees. I can accept that. Like I said, no wedding present for my former flatmate now. I mean, I'd prefer to not have that happen, but who knows what would have happened if they got in or got their day in court. There is a non-zero chance I could have been put in a bad spot by a justice based on some sob story. Even in the likely case I'd win, the only people who make money in these things are the lawyers. Punitive damages aren't really a thing here. The courts would just send everyone on their way. At least I'll always have a video of my ex failing to pull a fast one on me and the record of her being called to my solicitor's office like they've been called into the office by the head teacher. A quick note on why I don't just chuck her things out the door. Flats here tend to be open to the outside, not a corridor, so it would be the same thing as chucking it out in the rain. And there is a legal duty of care. It's called being an involuntary bailee. It sucks, but it's a pretty common landlord problem. And Karen is a Karen. At least twice I've seen her complain in a restaurant to get her meal comped. Rules are a weapon to use against others. She would absolutely have made trouble for me. So that's hopefully it. Thanks for sticking with me. And hopefully at the very least, it will serve as a cautionary tale about changing your locks if you get dumped. With all that said, was I the jerk? I'm stretching my mind. I'm opening my eyes. And still, I can't see any possible way that Karen and the ghost thought that this would actually work. How could this even possibly happen? Maybe they just thought that he would eventually find out and that he would just be fine with it. The original poster did say that his relationship with the ghost was one where he was a cash ATM for her for years. So maybe she really did just think that the inconvenience of getting her out would be too much and he would just keep her there at this ridiculously below market value rent place. Or maybe they were going for the squatter's angle. Maybe they thought once they got in there, they would have squatter's rights and they would be able to make his life miserable and he would just comply. Other than that, I can't really fathom how this would work, but maybe you guys have some better ideas. Let me know down below how you think something like this could actually be pulled off. I mean, even if he never went to the flat ever, he still knew that the guy was moving out. He was on pretty good terms with this guy. He used to live with him. Someone brought up the point that it could potentially work if the property was owned and operated by a larger property management company. But when the owner only has one or two rental properties and is friends and former roommates with the previous tenant, it's a lot harder to pull off. And that's exactly what I'm thinking too. Maybe if this was some huge organization and it got lost in the weeds somewhere, but that's not the case I described here at all. On the flip side, one of the responses said, "You'd be surprised then. I took over a lease once with such a group. I was there for the in-person inspection 3 months months later, but when it came time to move, I wasn't on the lease and the previous tenant still was after 9 months. This is after the bond was transferred. I'd been the one paying rent from my account and I sent them a copy of my passport for ID proof, but it wasn't enough apparently. It was then like pulling teeth to swap it as the previous tenant had moved overseas. So if you were the original poster here, the landlord, how would you have handled this whole thing? Would you have showed her the footage of herself from the Ring camera or just played it out like this? Let me know down below. Am I the jerk for reporting a coworker who wanted to set me up with someone, then trying to apologize after I became interested? It's important to note that I'm a 34-year-old female. I'm not straight. I'm not completely in the closet, but I'm not completely out of the closet. I'm out of the closet when I'm with my close circle of friends. No, I don't live in a conservative area. It's just a personal thing, and I have my reasons for keeping it this way at the moment. So I work with this 31-year-old guy. We've worked together for roughly 6 months. We aren't close, but I'd say we're work buddies. We don't follow each other on any socials, but we do chit chat here and there at work about insignificant stuff. Our political views align, so that's mostly what we talk about when we do talk. Last week, we were walking out of the building together at the end of the shift, and he asked me if I was single. We'd never really asked each other anything that personal before, so I was taken aback a bit. I've had plenty of men in my life hit on me, and usually it's no big deal to let them know I'm not interested, but I've been single for almost a year now, and I'll admit my relationship status is kind of a sensitive thing at the moment. I told him something along the lines of, sorry, but I'm not interested. He stopped me and he said he wasn't asking for himself. I was just trying to get to my car and leave work. I felt really annoyed at this point. I told him I wasn't going to hook up with his friends and I'd appreciate it if he just left me alone. He stepped back and asked me, what is your problem? I told him if his friend was anything like him, then I'd really have zero interest. As I walked away, he said, no wonder you're single. When I told this all to my roommate slash bestie, they told me that my reaction was extreme and that I was the jerk in this scenario. I felt he was out of line and I doubled down. The following day, I told our manager what happened and that the whole event made me uncomfortable. The manager had a coach and counsel talk with my coworker. That was yesterday. My coworker has been radio silent with me ever since. I expected he'd apologize, but nothing. The manager and I are friends outside of work. She knows I'm not straight. When I asked her how the talk went, she told me I should have heard him out. I was confused and asked what she meant. It turns out he wanted to set me up with his sister. How did he know that I wasn't straight? He told our manager it was the Xena Warrior Princess screensaver on my desktop and his gaydar from growing up with two lesbian sisters. She knows this employee somewhat well and gave me his sister's name and said to check her out on Instagram. Yeah, she's a 10. She walks that fine line between butch and femme perfectly and looks very liberal like myself. Now I feel bad because not only did I miss out on possibly meeting someone, but I was beginning to think I was indeed the jerk and he just caught me at a bad time. I've always had issues interacting with men. The next day I planned on apologizing, but he put in a shift change request and moved to second shift. I have his phone number, but I've been blocked. So before you decide if I'm the jerk or not, here's some more information. The only way I know how to reach him is through work email. I sent him a message apologizing and asked if we could talk. My coworker had no interest in talking. I reached out to his sister on Instagram regardless. We've been chatting. I got her digits. She has no idea who I am and says she doesn't talk to her family much about her love life. So I'm going to see where it goes and cross that blown up bridge somehow when I get to it. We've been talking nonstop since I hit her up, so I think I'm in. Jumping into the future, there's an update. The sister and I started talking quite a bit after I reached out to her. I didn't tell her who I was. After a few days, it became pretty clear that I massively screwed up. There was genuine chemistry between us. She wanted to meet in person. I was getting the feels. She was getting the feels. I had to come clean. I told her who I was. I told her what happened between her brother and me, and it did not go well. She said she needed space, and then she blocked me. Maybe she'll unblock me, maybe she won't. Her brother did send me a text saying he appreciated me being honest with her. Despite being pissed, I reached out to her. I apologized to him again. I told my manager I was out of line with my coworker and wanted my complaint retracted. All in all, I got what was coming to me. I'm working on being a better person. I honestly don't even know how I got to that point or why I acted so crazy. Hopefully, I can make amends with both of them in the future. So, am I the jerk? I know a lot of people are saying that she is the jerk, and maybe she is to a degree, but she sounds really fed up with being hit on, which sounds like all the time. Obviously, that doesn't give you a right to treat someone poorly, but she's clearly frustrated by it. I think she could probably have expressed that frustration in a way that didn't totally explode like that, where not only did she say what she said, said to him, but she tried to get him in trouble through the manager. And maybe I still would have said that's not a jerk move, but why did everything change when she found out it wasn't a guy? I know one is more annoying than the other, but in that case, it sounded like she did want this, but just with the appropriate gender. So in other words, this guy presumably didn't know from her perspective what her orientation was, asked her if she was single, and then everything happened. But what this is telling me is that if it was a girl who asked her that, none of that would have happened. So it sounds like it was less about the situation and more about the appropriate fit. Which, I mean, how could she expect him to know? In this case, he did know because he's trying to hook her up with his sister, but something about that seems odd. I can still see from her perspective why it would be frustrating, but is that just weird to me only that she would only do this if it was with someone who didn't already know her orientation? Anyway, let me know how you see this and jerk or not a jerk and why. When you subscribe, make sure to hit the bell to turn on notifications. To finish listening to all the stories in this series, use the playlist at the top of the description. And next time you live stream, use the cream of the crop music. Search for Cream of the Stream on Spotify or whatever music platform you use for copyright-free music to use for your stream. It's free. Cream of the Stream. Either way, thanks a lot for listening. We'll see you guys next time.